Good morning and welcome to this online service of morning prayer on this sixth Sunday after Trinity.
The hymn number 102, Name of All Majesty.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near.
Beloved in Christ, we come together to offer to Almighty God our worship and praise and thanksgiving, to confess our sins and to receive God's forgiveness, to hear his holy word proclaimed, to bring before him our needs and the needs of the world, and to pray that in the power of his Spirit we may serve him and know the greatness of his love. Let us confess our sins to God our Father. Heavenly Father,
we have sinned against you and against our neighbor,
In thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault, by what we have done and by what we have failed to do. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins, for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us. Forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
O Lord, open our lips,
and our mouth will proclaim your praise.
O God, make speed to save us.
O Lord, make haste to help us.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
The Lord's name be praised.
On page 120 of the prayer book, the canticle, Jubilate.
Be joyful in the Lord.
The psalm appointed for this morning is number 24, which we shall say by alternate division of verses. The earth is the Lord's and all that fills it.
The compass of the world and all who dwell within.
For he has founded it upon the seas.
And set it firm upon the rivers of the deep.
Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord?
Or who can rise up in his holy place?
Those who have clean hands and a pure heart.
You have not lifted up their soul to an idol, nor sworn an oath to a lie.
They shall receive a blessing from the Lord,
a just reward from the God of their salvation.
Such is the company of those who seek him.
Of those who seek your face, O God of Jacob.
Lift up your heads, O gates. Be lifted up, you everlasting doors.
And the King of glory shall come in.
Who is the King of glory?
The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, who is mighty in battle.
Lift up your heads, O gates, be lifted up, you everlasting doors.
And the King of glory shall come in.
Who is this King of glory?
The Lord of hosts, he is the King of glory.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen.
The Old Testament reading is from the second book of Samuel, chapter 6, beginning at verse 1. David brings the ark to Jerusalem. David again gathered all the chosen men of Israel, 30,000. David and all the people with him set out and went from Bel-Judah to bring up from there the ark of God, which is called by the name of the Lord of hosts, who is enthroned on the cherubim. They carried the ark of God on a new cart and brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill. Uzzah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, were driving the new cart with the ark of God, and Ahio went in front of the ark. David and all the house of Israel were dancing before the Lord with all their might, with songs and lyres and harps and tambourines and castanets and cymbals. It was told King David, "The Lord has blessed the household of Obed-Edom and all that belongs to him because of the ark of God." So David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with rejoicing. And when those who bore the ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces, he sacrificed an ox and a fatling. David danced before the Lord with all his might. David was girded with a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. As the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, daughter of Saul, looked out of the window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. They brought in the ark of the Lord and set it in its place, inside the tent that David had pitched for it. And David offered burnt offerings and offerings of well-being before the Lord. When David had finished offering the burnt offerings and the offerings of well-being, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord of hosts and distributed food among all the people, the whole multitude of Israel, both men and women, to each a cake of bread, a portion of meat, and a cake of raisins. Then all the people went back to their homes.
On page 126, the Canticle Te Deum, parts 1 and 2.
The New Testament reading is from the Gospel according to St. Mark, chapter 6, beginning at verse 14. The death of John the Baptist. King Herod heard of it, for Jesus' name had become known. Some were saying, John the Baptizer has been raised from the dead, and for this reason these powers are at work in him. But the others said, it's Elijah, and others said, it's a prophet like one of the prophets of old. But when Herod heard of it, he said, John, whom I beheaded, has been raised. For Herod himself had sent men who arrested John, bound him and put him in prison on account of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, because Herod had married her. For John had been telling Herod, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. And Herodias had a grudge against him and wanted to kill him. But she could not, for Herod feared John, knowing that he was a righteous and holy man, and he protected him. When he heard him, he was greatly perplexed, and yet he liked to listen to him. But an opportunity came when Herod, on his birthday, gave a banquet for his courtiers and officers and all the leaders of Galilee. When his daughter Herodias came in and danced, she pleased Herod and his guests, and the king said to the girl, ask me for whatever you wish, and I will give it. And he solemnly swore to her, whatever you ask me, I will give you, even half of my kingdom. She went out and said to her mother, what should I ask for? She replied, the head of John the Baptizer. Immediately she rushed back to the king and requested, I want you to give me at once the head of John the Baptist on a platter. The king was deeply grieved, yet out of regard of his oaths and for his guests, he did not wish to refuse her. Immediately the king sent a soldier of the guard with orders to bring John's head. He went and beheaded him in the prison, brought his head on a platter and gave it to the girl. Then the girl gave it to her mother. When his disciples heard about it, they came and took his body and laid it in a tomb.
The Canticle, Glory and Honour.
I believe in God.
I believe in God.
The Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Lord, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy. Our Father.
Our Father.
Who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Show us your mercy, O Lord.
And grant us your salvation.
O Lord, save the Queen.
And grant her government wisdom.
Let your ministers be clothed with righteousness.
And let your servants shout for joy.
O Lord, save your people.
And bless those whom you have chosen.
Give peace in our time, O Lord.
And let your glory be over all the earth.
O God, make clean our hearts within us.
And renew us by your Holy Spirit.
The Collect of the Day. Merciful God, you have prepared for those who love you such good things as pass our understanding. Pour into our hearts such love toward you that we, loving you above all things, may obtain your promises which exceed all that we can desire. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
O God,
O God,
the author of peace and lover of concord, to know you is eternal life, and to serve you is perfect freedom. Defend us in all assaults of our enemies, that we, surely trusting in your protection, may not fear the power of any adversaries. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. O Lord,
O Lord,
our Heavenly Father, almighty and ever-living God, we give you thanks for bringing us safely to this day. Keep us from falling into sin or running into danger, and in all things guide us to know and do your will, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The hymn from Thanks and Praise 174, Your Words to Me Are Life and Health. Let us pray. We pray for the church in this group of parishes and in this diocese, remembering especially today the Glen Community Church. Into your hands, O Lord,
we commend ourselves and all who are dear to us this day. Be with us as we go out and as we come in. Strengthen us for the work you have prepared for us to do. Grant that we may be filled with your Holy Spirit, and so may walk worthy of our high calling and joyfully achieve all you want us to do. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
On this Sea Sunday, we pray for those at sea and at home again. Lord Almighty, we pray for those who go out onto the sea in ships, who have seen your wonderful deeds in the deep, who may be in great peril, who also have known you to still the storm to a whisper. Show them that there is no trouble in which they cannot cry out to you, and let them give thanks to you for your unfailing love. Bring them safely home to harbour and to their homes, and bless those who wait for them there. For Christ's sake.
Amen.
We pray for the lifeboat service. Heavenly Father, we ask that your protection may rest upon those who man the lifeboats along our coasts. We pray for those who see their family members go out, never knowing if they will return. Bless these volunteers for their courage as they risk their lives for others with no thought of reward or gain. And remind us to support them through our prayers and gifts.
Amen.
We pray for this country and all the nations of the world and their rulers' responsibilities. Lord God, we pray for those to whom you have entrusted the power to rule among us. Help them to remember their responsibility to you and to be so trustworthy in using it until the day of account that your kingdom shall be prospered and they shall be found your good servants in Christ our Lord.
Amen.
And a prayer for all on holiday. We commend to you, O Lord, all those who at this time are seeking the rest and recreation of a holiday after the restrictions over the past year, and especially any who are known to us. Grant them fine weather and freedom from accident or illness, and grant too that in their enjoyment they may not forget you, the giver of all good things, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
And a prayer for all engaged in professional sport. Remembering in particular the tennis championships at Wimbledon and the football final this evening. We pray, O God, for those who engage in sports and contests for their own pleasure and the entertainment of others. We ask that through their knowledge of the rules of the games, they may see that there are greater laws, that through their experience of training, they may see that there is a greater discipline, and that through their desire for victory, they may be directed to the greatest triumph of all and the goal which is Christ, the Saviour of the world, for his name's sake.
Amen.
Almighty God, the fountain of all wisdom, you know our needs before we ask and our ignorance in asking. Have compassion on our weakness and give us those things which for our unworthiness we dare not and in our blindness we cannot ask, for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
We join in the grace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Hymn 536, Lord, while for all the world we pray of every clime and coast.
Grant, O God, that through the written word and through the spoken word, we may behold the living word, our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. Fairy tales and happy endings play a significant role in shaping us and our expectations about life. We are inundated from birth by themes and images of the way life should play out by the storylines provided us in fictional accounts, in books and in film, in everything from Disney movies to Hollywood blockbusters to popular television and online series. We love keeping up with the weddings, the holidays, the births, and highlights of the lives of celebrities, and of course, the royal family. We're enchanted by tales of the underdog and the anti-heroes who get their happy endings. And somewhere in all of this, we formulate a vision for what our own lives should look like. But real life rarely resembles fairy tales, and there is never any guarantee of a happy ending. The Bible isn't much for fairy tales either, and the story of the sixth chapter of the Gospel according to St. Mark is about a royal family that no one envies. King Herod's second wife, Queen Herodias, is portrayed as a conniving and vengeful woman filled with hatred and the desire for revenge. She ultimately ropes her young daughter into a murder plot against God's chosen, John the Baptist. This story reads more like a horror story than a fairy tale, as we read about the presentation of John's head on a platter at her request. We see that King Herod would rather commit murder than appear to be a fool in front of his guests. And John the Baptist's life itself seems rather tragic. John lived a challenging life, was imprisoned unjustly, and then killed horribly and unexpectedly. And yet, Jesus said of him, "Among those born of women, no one has arisen greater than John the Baptist." There are no fairy tale endings in the Bible, even for God's chosen servants. Still, as humans, we cling so strongly to images of what we think life should be and look like. We still expect happy fairy tale endings and are often perplexed when our lives hand us something very different. And we are, in fact, so committed to these fairy tales and to projecting images of success and happiness that many of us intentionally project images of our lives to others that are not only highly edited, but sometimes completely false. Recently, I was astounded to discover that there is now a paid service called Fake a Vacation, in which people can actually send snapshots of themselves to a company that will edit the photos into fake but fabulous holiday spots so the client can share the images on social media sites. This may sound extreme, but it's not too far off from the way our lives are edited on social media and the outside world to fit happy narratives. Some years ago, The Onion, which is billed as America's finest news source, ran an article with the headline, "Facebook version of marriage going great." With tongue in cheek, they reported on a couple whose Facebook friends react to their happy lives as featured on social media. They claim that the entire vacation was evidently spent relaxing happily and was not once tarnished by short tempers or strained periods of silence. We've likely all seen these types of images and storylines online, and many of us engage in similar behaviours. We know intellectually that what is projected doesn't tell the whole story, and yet research shows that spending time on social media often causes or indeed increases depression in people because we inevitably compare our lives to what we are seeing portrayed publicly and then end up feeling that our lives fall short. Life doesn't have to be less than a fairy tale to disappoint us either. If your life is not going the way you expected or hoped it would, or even if it has veered far away from the way you'd imagined it, you are not alone. Perhaps you've been sidelined by an injury or illness, a death, a loss, a broken relationship, or maybe something distressing has happened to your children or someone you love. You may be filled with a sense of disillusionment, anger, grief, heartache, sorrow, or confusion. You may wonder why, what went wrong. You may even despair of life itself. There are people who can teach us a different way to approach life, however. People whose lives look nothing like a fairy tale. People whose lives
are not in any way conventional, but who find deep joy and purpose. You probably know someone who has suffered great loss and whose life did not play out as they had hoped, but still they find joy and a deeper purpose despite it all. Often these people have found meaning beyond the expected storylines of their culture and are people of faith. John the Baptist is just one example among many from the Bible, along with the many saints and faithful who offer different scripts, alternatives to the lives prescribed by Hollywood, Disney, social media, and even our cultural traditions. This script is God's script, and it follows God's purpose and calling on our lives instead. As people of faith who follow Jesus, this is exactly where our deepest hopes and dreams are to be rooted. In what St. Paul describes as the, and I quote, glorious grace that God freely bestowed on us, unquote. Scripture reminds us that no matter what twists and turns we face in life, no matter what trials or disappointments we suffer, they do not compare to the inheritance that God has for us. Paul writes, having been destined according to the purposes of him who accomplishes all things according to his counsel and will, we are blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places and marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit, the pledge of our inheritance toward redemption as God's own people. When our lives find their meanings and purposes, not in human storylines, but in God's storyline, the God who called John the Baptist, the prophets, the saints, and each one of us to a life of faith, then we can start to see our lives very differently and adjust to new expectations. We can throw away the scripts and storylines someone handed to us, or that we embraced long ago, and realize that our lives find their deepest meaning and purpose in something much bigger and greater than ourselves and our individual storylines. And as we root ourselves more deeply in God and God's Word, we begin to see that our lives have the potential to impact others with the love of God in a much deeper way than we ever imagined. John the Baptist's life was, one could say, rather tragic. And yet, this is not how we usually think of John. We remember that he was a hero of the faith who paved the way for Jesus and helped bring salvation and the good news of God to countless generations after him, and whose witness still inspires us. Like all the saints, we have been blessed with the gift of the Holy Spirit. We have been called and redeemed by God, and we have been given God's glorious grace to live lives full of meaning and purpose, imbued by none other than our Creator. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Hymn 373. To God be the glory, great things he has done.
Glory, great things he has done. So loved he the world. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always. The hymn, Lord of All Hopefulness.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We thank you for being with us during this online service today. We take this opportunity of wishing you and all those whom you love refreshment and rest over the coming holidays. Sunday next is the seventh Sunday after Trinity. There will be an online service from 10 a.m. Also services in church at 10 o'clock in Annahilt, Parish Communion at 12 noon in Mara Hamlet,
morning prayer. Thank you.